This is Matt from Three Count Thursday. We are proud and pleased to bring you Riley Shepherd tonight. We are doing an exclusive ThreeCountThursday.com interview with her. So, Riley, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. So the first question we like to do is just to get some background information on you. So as growing up, were you a fan of wrestling, or did that come later in life?
So I didn't really – I'm a late bloomer in all of this. I watched a little bit when I was like 5 or 6 years old with my great-grandfather. I remember watching Undertaker with the steel chair on the small TV, but I don't think I really appreciated it until I was older. And a few years back, my then-boyfriend introduced me to NXT with Finn Balor and Sami Zayn and the Four Horsewomen, and that's when I kind of started to really appreciate it. And then just within the last couple of years, I did a college paper for my women gender study class on Trish and Lita. So I got some exposure in that, and that really brought me into this wonderful world of wrestling.
So then would you say that like Trish, Lita, the Four Horsemen, were those wrestlers that influenced you then and even now? And were there any others that you can kind of pinpoint as you drew inspiration from them?
Definitely Bayley and Becky Lynch when they were on NXT. I remember distinctly Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks having this amazing match where at the end of it, everyone started actually singing, the audience singing Becky Lynch's music to her, when she, even when she lost. And that just, I was in awe of that. And I think that was one of the things that really got me to appreciate how this, how wrestling could touch people's lives.
Now, are you able to watch Raw very much currently?
Yes. Raw and SmackDown.
What's your opinion on Bayley at this point on the main roster?
I still very much like Bayley. I think NXT, because she was kind of on her own, obviously she had more of a, she had a lot of a spotlight. And now she's contending with Charlotte, and she's very strong in her own way, and then Bayley's strong in a different way. So it's interesting to see those dynamics. But Bayley, her interactions with the crowd and especially young kids inspire me a lot. So that's definitely one of the things I take with me.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about this the other week that it was like the Four Horsewomen was one of those things that we don't know that we'll ever see that level of talent come up at the same time ever again.
Right.
So it's great to see them all on the main roster. I don't necessarily agree with what they do with some of them, but it's still fun to watch them in the ring no matter what.
Yes, I think I'll probably continue always to tune in just to see their career path. I know Charlotte is already kind of on her way to making that pursuit of almost a Hall of Fame career, and I look forward to seeing what she does next when she did all that in a little over a year.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're going to take a step back now. Before deciding to get into the wrestling business, you were part of the Police. So how did you come to the decision to leave that life and pursue wrestling?
Yeah, so when I was 15, I kind of decided to pursue the career path of police. And it was a little over 10 years where I did pursue it. I was a 911 dispatcher for about 7 years. I did go to the police academy and completed it. And I was a police officer for about a year and a half. And I respect that. I respect police and dispatchers and emergency personnel and all they do. And I was so involved in that. But once I did a year and a half, I realized that's not really where my heart lied anymore. I wanted something that was a little more community-based and maybe a little less enforcement. So that's kind of one of the things that kept me from continuing in policing.
Gotcha. Now, the wrestling industry is no stranger to having like a police-type character. Was there ever any thought for you to kind of use that when you were coming up, or did you just want to separate yourself from that?
I did have a couple discussions with some of my fellow wrestlers who thought that I could definitely use that as inspiration. I have a little bit of a fear almost of being able to do it respectfully without kind of misconstruing policing in one way or another. So I'm not really sure if that's something I wanted to touch on at all. Maybe something in the future, it could be something down the line, but at this point, it's kind of just, I guess, too fresh to want to stray from there.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. So then, speaking of your character, you are billed as the Gladiator of the Geeks. So how are some ways that you incorporate this geekiness into the world of wrestling that you've now entered?
So my gear is definitely one of the things that kind of jumps out at you as being geeky. I took a lot of inspiration from LARPing, which I actually used to do here in New Jersey. It's live action role-playing. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Role Models, but they did LARP. Yeah, so kind of that and RPGs like Dragon Age and Zelda. My gear is very much, and Lord of the Rings, along those lines. I'm also part of a faction right now at the MFPW called the Fellowship with Plunkett the Ogre and Red Scorpion, and we kind of utilize that sort of genre of sci-fi and fantasy in that faction. But I think really I was always geeky growing up, and because of that I got bullied a little bit, or a lot of bit, but I kind of wanted to show in the ring that you can embrace your inner geek and embrace who you are and still be a gladiator, still kick butt. And I think that's kind of the base of what my character is.
All right. That's awesome. I like to hear that. And we're definitely going to touch on Lord of the Rings later, but first I wanted to talk a little bit about your training. So you've done it at the Legendary Monster Factory, a place that has produced some fantastic wrestlers. So what would you say have been the most valuable lessons that you've learned as part of your training?
I think probably the most valuable lesson is kind of one that I actually carried from Police Academy and has served me well is, a standing cage would say, don't be an idiot, and he might not be so PG about it when he says it, but but in all honesty, just to keep your mouth closed, keep your eyes and ears open, and keep your head down, put in the work, and it'll bring you further in this industry than you could imagine, and that's definitely something that every day at training I carry with me.
So then, coming from, you know, the police background, you know, there's a lot of training that goes into that. Would you say you were able to transfer anything then to the ring? And like, kind of what came natural to you when you started this? Because the wrestling industry is just a whole different animal than any other sport.
Oh, it definitely is. But I think in the beginning, I remember distinctly just the very first night having a mini tryout almost for the Monster Factory. And one of the things was doing a front flip. And one of the girls showing me was still a little, she said, even after a couple years of doing this, I'm still very iffy on doing it. And she showed me, I said, oh, okay. And I just did it. Because I do have a gymnastics background. I did gymnastics for about 11 years. And I did kickboxing. So things that were kind of along those lines, roles, just straight athleticism, I was able to do. And whenever we do drills, I can always push through because that comes from the police academy. Just kind of no matter what you're feeling at the time, you can make it through it. And that being able to push through comes the easiest for me. But the hardest probably is kind of staying out of my own way, and not getting frustrated with myself because I don't have a background in mat wrestling. So things like submissions, I sometimes would get a little frustrated that I wasn't learning as fast as I thought I should be. And I had to take a step back and give myself a pep talk and say, well, you did gymnastics for 11 years. You weren't good overnight. So this is going to take time. So just that, probably coming to terms with that was the hardest.
Okay, so kind of just fighting your inner demons, so to speak, has been the toughest part.
Yeah, probably.
Now, on April 21st to 23rd, Danny Cage is holding a training seminar at Monster Factory, which you said on social media you will be attending. So, what are you hoping to get out of this seminar, and what are some things that other people who are signing up for this, what should they expect to get out of this as well?
Right. So this will be my fourth camp seminar that I've done with Monster Factory. And in the past, we've had, special guests like Bill DeMond, Matt Wyschlinski, all from WWE, Rip Rogers, Les Thatcher, Bull James, and Josh Woods. And I was able to take different aspects from different people. It was usually 2 to 3 days, and it's just nonstop. You wake up, you warm up. You get into one ring with whoever that guest is there. Like last camp, we had Bill DeMott, Matt Wyschlinski, and Les Thatcher. So one ring was learning from Les for a couple hours. Another ring was learning from Bill DeMott for a couple hours, and then working in the gym with Matt Wyschlinski. So you were constantly going, and then would have a Q&A where you could pick their brains. And I expect something similar in April. I know we're definitely having all of our Monster Factory coaches, Damian Martinez, who's from Ring of Honor, QT Marshall, and obviously Danny Cage, with a few special guests. But I never go in expecting anything, besides kind of just working your butt off and trying to have an open mind, because they throw whatever learning experience they brought with them at you, and you just kind of have to adapt and go with whatever they do throw at you.
Awesome. So you mentioned Les Thatcher a couple times there. We've had him on in the past for about an hour, but I could have sat and listened to him for, 12 hours. So do you find with Les that you learn more from him just listening to him and soaking it all in as opposed to other styles of learning aspects of the business?
With Les, he has so many stories, and I remember him just telling about not only from when he worked in the business, but now working with fellow wrestlers and imparting his knowledge. There was one point after we were in the ring where he was giving us instructions where we would just stand outside the ring, and I have to say, for maybe at least a half hour, 45 minutes, he was telling us about his journey and the advice that he could give us. And the one thing that I took from it was also to kind of keep your mouth to keep your mouth closed and put in the work. And at the end of the day, people are buying tickets to see you entertain them. And if you're going in the ring, they're going to come back if that's what they get. So at the end of the day, you're telling a story. You are their story. You are their entertainment. And that's what he wanted us kind of to bring with us forward.
Yeah, I remember when we had him on that he was, it was Ryan and one of our other hosts and myself talking to him. And at one point, there was just dead air because we were just kind of soaking in the stories he was telling us. And so I imagine
Yeah.
it's just kind of overwhelming to go to a whole seminar with him because the guy has so much that he can teach you and you want to learn everything he has, and there's just no way.
Yeah, I got lucky that it was 2 seminars so far that I've gotten to soak in all of that knowledge that he imparted. So at least I can take from the very first seminar when was never involved in that, and now 3 seminars from there, I think I'm a little more, even more open to hearing everything that he can impart and where he's coming from and knowing where he's coming from.
Yeah, definitely. So now that you're kind of going through all this training, getting some experience in the ring, what would you say so far has been your favorite part of this process? Is it, the creation of your character, creating your designing your ring gear or choosing an entrance song, moves? Does anything kind of stand out as this is the thing I love the most about this business?
I love every aspect, but I think I could pinpoint maybe two things. And one thing is more about training and learning, that just coming from gymnastics background, being able to, once again, mentally and physically every day push myself and learn something new and be like, oh, I can take this and we can put that there, and being able to be creative and just push myself in that way is amazing. For the wrestling shows, being able to work with the wrestlers, but also the rapport with the community and the fans is something I appreciate so much, especially little kids. I love when like little girls, little boys come up and are so excited to see you and just talk to you and even just take a picture with you. And I like I said, with Bailey, that's one of the things I admire so much about her, because that's something that I really, really love about this industry.
So at this point, do you have a preference in terms of wrestling as a face or a heel?
Right now, I've mainly wrestled as a face. I do enjoy that a lot because I do get to kind of be on the same level as little kids almost, and get on their level and be their friend, versus being a heel where it's a different dynamic. It's still that interaction, but it's something that I haven't quite gotten used to yet. So I think being a face right now is great to learn the industry, and that's what I'd love to do right now.
Okay, perfect. So it's been a fast and much-deserved rise for you at this point on the scene, but I want to kind of talk about your first match. How did it go, in your opinion, in terms of, like, were you so excited to get out there, or were you extremely nervous and were, like, I want to get the first one out of the way? Do you remember much about the crowd, the finish? What all do you remember about your first match?
So my first match, my first singles match, I would want to say, because I did actually, I was in Turkey Slam. I was the first girl ever to be in the MFPW Turkey Slam, which went so fast, and I was so nervous for that one. But my first ever singles match was on our Factory Friday against Gabby Slays, and we've never done Factory Fridays before at this time, which is our very first not PG, different dynamic than I've ever seen at the MFPW. So I think we were all sort of nervous in that way, just to see how things would turn out, and how the crowd would react to everything, not just our match. So that kind of played into everything, on top of it being both mine and Gabby Slay's first singles match together. And the butterflies were there, everything, until the bell rang. And then as soon as that bell rang, it was just like, okay, game on. In the zone, feeding from the crowd, and just the fact that right now, at that time, it was a while since there had been a girls' match at the MFPW. So I think the crowd was already sort of excited to see it. And just feeding from that was amazing.
Now, what was the crowd size like for that? I'm curious, because I've been to a few Friday shows with other promotions, and they're so hit or miss. You know, sometimes they're packed, and then sometimes there's, you know, maybe 20, 30 people in a room for 500. So what was the crowd like for that Friday match?
So the first one was actually a decent size. It was definitely not as big as our Saturday, because it was the very first one, and because our Saturday is catered to kids as well. So a lot of the parents who usually would bring their kids left them at home. And the audience didn't really know what to make of it. So now it's grown so much. And even the last few Factory Fridays, the crowd got so much bigger. But because it was the first, it was a medium-sized crowd, I would say.
Okay. So now you've had a couple great matches at the Monster Factory, from what I've seen on YouTube. I haven't gotten to the live Factory matches in a while now, but you did take on Gabby Slays, as you said, and then Maria Manic as well, making quite a statement so far in that promotion, which is so renowned. So what does it mean to you to have that kind of support, not only from the fans that kind of pride themselves on appreciating technical wrestling, but also the support from the locker room and the trainers to kind of put you in there as, you know, one of the rising stars of the company?
I am one of those people who I just don't want to disappoint, and I wouldn't particularly say a perfectionist, but it's definitely in the back of my mind that I want to do the best that I can. And I think because the MSPW have put on so many good shows with so many good wrestlers, that that's always kind of in the back of your mind that the fans expect a certain level, and they'll know if you're not at that level, and they'll let you know that you're not at that level too. So just being able to have that trust from the coaches and the locker room that, hey, you can do this. We believe in you enough to put you in front of that crowd. It means the world to me. And then to be able to, like, one of the times I went to the restroom and one of the moms came in and goes, oh my goodness, my daughter says you're her favorite. And I kind of was in awe and went, wait, I'm someone's favorite? And then this little girl who's like 9 years old comes in and starts telling me about how she's wrestling for her school and she won 3 matches. And I'm like, you're going to kick my butt soon. And I would never do that, but it's just, I can't even describe how that feels.
All right. Yeah. That's kind of one of those moments where you know that all the work you've put in has kind of paid off. And I'd assume anyway. I mean, I've never wrestled, so I can't speak to that end, but I would assume that that's what that feels like.
Yeah.
So then as 2017 progresses and you get more training, more matches, what are some goals that you have kind of for yourself that you'd like to see yourself achieve by the end of the year?
So obviously continue training at the Monster Factory because I have so much to learn and I'm just beginning in this industry. So that's something that just to keep learning and growing through there. But the MFPW Girls Championship is vacant right now. It has been for a little bit. So that's definitely something that I'm striving towards. It's the very first goal probably when I look up. And then I would love to take more bookings outside of the MFPW. I do have a couple, but it's something that is very new to me. And then I've been training a little bit with Ring of Honor. They have been using our facility at the Monster Factory for the past few weeks, but they've invited me back to train with them as well. So I'm hoping that maybe in 2017 it could take me to working more with Ring of Honor or maybe something with WWE, who knows, but lots of lofty goals.
Well, I mean, it's great to have those lofty goals. I mean, everyone's got to reach for something. So,
yep.
And if you do wrestle for the MFPW Championship, I hope Three Count Thursday will be able to be in attendance for that.
Oh, I would love that.
So now that you're kind of soaking in all this knowledge, you know, listening to all these people like Les Thatcher, like Danny Cage, you know, guys that just know about the industry, if someone would then come to you looking to get their start, what is a valuable piece of advice that you think you could give to them in terms of getting their foot in the door?
I think the first thing that resonates with me that always is from Danny. And he tells everyone, this isn't a hobby, it's a job, and you treat it that way. And if you're able to do that, then you'll go really far. But, in the beginning, when I first approached Danny, one of the biggest concerns for me was my age, because I'm, like I said, I'm a late bloomer. So I kind of went up to him and I said, well, I'm this old, is there still a chance? And he goes, yeah, you're fine. As long as you're in here and you dedicate your time here, you're fine. So as cliched as it sounds, if that's what makes you happy, don't let anything hold you back. No age. Age is just a number, nothing like that. But as long as you have the determination, hard work, and dedication, because it's your job. It takes that dedication. You can overcome that.
Awesome. I think that's probably very sound advice. I mean, it's probably something that someone just getting in would definitely need to hear right off the bat.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break from the wrestling questions now. I did want to talk about Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter.
Okay.
So we'll start with Lord of the Rings. Do you have a favorite book or film of the series?
I do have a favorite film. It is Fellowship of the Ring. I just, the one scene that always kind of sticks in my mind is when they're all standing in a circle and talking about what they need to do with this ring, and it's Legolas and Frodo and Gimli and all of them, and they all stand up and they're like, well, despite us being all different races, we're going to get behind you and we're going to take you all the way to Mount Doom. Yeah, and that just always resonated with me how great they did that scene. And I think just the introduction into his journey and his travels, it makes it a favorite of mine, definitely.
Okay. I've always been Return of the King, and my wife's Two Towers, so we always argue about
we're
that.
We're all different.
Yeah. So, and then do you have a favorite character from the series?
I have in my heart, Aragorn, so much. Everyone makes fun of me because they think Legolas is the hot one, and it's not. I just really like his character and how he's dark and brooding, and then he just kind of comes out of his shell, and there's so much more to that character than just what you see in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. For me, I've always been a fan of kind of the character that redeems themselves, so I was always a Boromir fan.
Okay.
So that's why Fellowship is tough for me, because that scene always kind of gets to me.
It would have been nice to have a little bit more of him as soon as he got redeemed. It just, nope, okay, he's dead
now. I know, yep, that was the end of it.
Yep.
Same with Snape from Harry Potter. So what about Harry Potter in terms of book, movies? Does any stand out as this is my favorite of the series?
So Harry Potter, I read the books first, and when they first came out, I was 13, I believe. So it was kind of around almost the same age as Harry Potter himself. So, and I was one of those people who, not only did I have the book, I had the audio, so I had the guy talking to me while I read it. I was that much of a geek about it. But definitely Sorcerer's Stone, because the introduction to Hogwarts, but then Deathly Hallows is another one, just because I grew up with it, and it was kind of that coming of age that this is outside of Hogwarts now. This is affecting the real world, and I think just the way that all the books kind of every year resonated with me a little bit, but those two definitely.
Did you see Fantastic Beasts?
I did, and it was so good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'm sure you already know this. I just learned this today. I saw on Facebook that they're creating an app similar to Pokemon Go where you'll be able to catch Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know. That's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that today, so and I was like, oh, how fitting, because we're going to talk about this. So I added it to my notes quick. All right, so now to kind of step back to the wrestling, the one question that we always ask, dream match, do you have a past or present superstar that you would just love to face in the ring? Do you have a style of match, a certain venue you'd like to wrestle in? So kind of this is the match that I would wrestle my career for.
I would definitely have to say Asuka. To me, she just kind of is the epitome of strong, sexy, intimidating female wrestler. Mm-hmm. She's definitely one that I would love to be able to wrestle. Obviously in NXT or WWE, I don't really have a venue because I'm sure I haven't traveled too much to different venues, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But the other two, I actually thought about it a little bit more, just what different, like Taylor Hendricks from Ring of Honor would be another one, just because she's so good at showing being unhinged in her emotions. And Karen mm-hmm. Q, who's independent, she is a gymnast too. So just to be able to wrestle that type of style against someone who has a similar wrestling style and see what we could do would be awesome as well.
Now, those are three fantastic choices. We got to see Karen Q a couple months ago here in Harrisburg, and I'd seen her before at ECWA, but this is the first time I really had the chance to, like, focus on the match because we were doing commentary. So it was just she kind of blew me away with just how great she is in the ring.
Yeah, I got lucky enough. My first MFPW show, she actually wrestled against Vanity, and it's the first girls match that I saw at the MFPW, and it kind of just stuck in my mind that I would love to be able to do it with her. She's just so good.
That was actually the exact match we just saw in Harrisburg. It was Karen Q and Vanity, so that's,
that's
pretty
so cool.
Funny to hear. All right, so then before we let you go, we just kind of want to give the floor to you. So, you know, any upcoming events we should be watching out for, you know, take some time to plug your social media. I saw on your Facebook page you have some shirts too. So go ahead and plug that, and then anything else that you'd like to add before we let you go.
Okay. So obviously the MFPW is kind of my home away from home. So we do have Factory Fridays as well as Saturday shows every other Saturday. So hopefully seeing me more there and gunning for that girls championship. I also have bookings upcoming with Next Generation Pro Wrestling in Cape May, as well as Extremely Talented Ladies Wrestling in Connecticut. I'm also, so there's a tryout coming up for Ring of Honor with Stardom. So that's this weekend. Maybe, so you'll see me on social media maybe with that. But my Twitter and Instagram is Riley_MFPW. And my Facebook is Riley Shepherd. Obviously, I would be on some stuff on the MF Network as well. Like you mentioned, my merch, I have two of my very first designs just came out last week, and they're awesome on What a Maneuver. So you can check those out there at whatamaneuver.net. And then I have RileyShepherd.com is my website for, like, bookings and updates and things like that and more content coming. But, yep, that's me in a nutshell on social media.
All right. Sounds awesome. We'll certainly retweet the usernames and everything. And thank you again so much for joining us. It was a pleasure. I always like to hear from people that are coming up through the Monster Factory, because we had Cage on in the past too, and that guy's just another one of those people I could listen to forever. So, again, thank
He's
you
a wealth
for
of knowledge.
Coming on. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you.
All right.